If you come with me to the first book of Kings, and chapter 18. The first book of Kings, chapter 18, and verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now one verse from the prophecy of Ezekiel, and in chapter 32, Ezekiel 32 and verse 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dark, I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Back to the book of Genesis, and in chapter 9. The book of Genesis chapter 9 and verse 12. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now a final reading in the second book of Samuel and in chapter 23. The second book of Samuel, chapter 23, and verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Now we trust that God will continue to bless his precious word. I almost hesitate to mention that just over a year ago, my wife and I sat in the departure lounge of Glasgow Airport, waiting to go on holiday. And after what seemed a long delay, we were told to board our plane. And when we reached the end of the departure lounge, we ran as quickly as we could from that to the plane. Not because we were glad to leave Scotland, but because it was raining very heavily. And yet within 20 minutes, as I looked out of the window of the plane, I was looking at a brilliant, shining sun and a lovely blue sky. And one word would explain the difference for our circumstances and it's the word cloud. And I want to speak this afternoon about cloud. Elijah said to his servant, having warned Ahab that the rain was coming, he told him to go to the mountain to see what he could see. And 6 times he went there, and he came back, and he saw nothing. Brother David has been speaking to young people, and I want to say this to them this afternoon, that maybe today, in your circumstances, there are no clouds. But I want to remind all our hearts, as it was in these days, and on this occasion, that clouds can so quickly gather. Last week at this time, a number of us from other parts of the British Isles were preparing to come for these conference meetings, including 2 young women from Stevenson. And this very afternoon, family and friends gathered round an open grave as the body of one of these dear sisters was laid in the earth. A dear brother and sister were here on Saturday evening. I'm quite sure that they fully intended to be here yesterday. And between those 2 days, possibly the nearest and dearest link on earth was broken. Clouds so quickly gather. But you'll notice what the servant said when he came down the first time, or the 7th time, he said, there's a cloud like a man's hand. But the next verse says this, in the meantime, the heaven was black with clouds. And I feel that in these 2 expressions, we cover every experience through which the child of God passes. Now we all know, I don't need to come from Scotland to tell you, that being saved does not exempt us from the problems and difficulties and trials of life. But they're not all of the same nature. Neither are they of the same degree. Sometimes our problems are a cloud the size of a man's hand. And we know, whatever that problem is, that a week may pass, or a month at the most, and that problem will be past and gone, maybe never to rear its head again in our experience. But every problem is not like that. There are saints today, and I could not imagine a company of this size without someone in this company being in that circumstance. There are saints today, and they don't need anyone to come to the door to tell them that the problem that they have will be with them until they leave this scene, or until the Lord comes. And not only as to its extent, but as to its severity, problems vary the one from the other. And there are saints today, and somewhere between these 2 expressions, the cloud the size of a man's hand, or the heaven black with clouds, we find ourselves in our situation this afternoon. I never think of this, but I recall the words of concerning Paul in Acts chapter 27, that when neither moon nor stars in many days appear. And some of God's children today are in these circumstances. For some of us, it may be today a little cloud before another sunrise. The heaven could be black with cloud. But I read a verse in Isaiah and Ezekiel chapter 32, and I want to link that with our brother David's ministry. God says to his people, I know in Ezekiel it's judgment, but I want to lift the statement from God. God says to his people, I will cover the sun with a cloud. And I look back on my life's experience, sometimes little clouds and sometimes the very reverse. And I sometimes feel where I have failed more is when I fail to acknowledge that God allowed this circumstance in my life. Circumstances that we would not like to have again. But when we had the circumstance, God allowed that circumstance in our life. Now I agree wholeheartedly with our brother Robert here last evening about the will of God. In relation to choice, it is so essential, whatever the choice is, to be clear and conscious of the pathway of the will of God for you. But I'm not thinking of choices today, I'm thinking of circumstances. Now, I don't think I'm too much different from you, although I'm a Scotsman. But as I look back on my life and my experiences, I would have to acknowledge that maybe 75% of the time when I passed through the situation, I only was conscious of the will of God, not when I looked forward, but when I looked back. One day, Joseph gathered his brethren around him. His brethren who would have killed him. His brethren who sold him to Egypt. And one day he gathered them around him and he said this to them. Ye meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. When did he say that? Well, it wasn't the day he was released from prison. It was just a few days before he left this scene. And an old man, looking back on the history of his life, he said to his brethren, God meant it for good. Now I'm quite sure there are saints here today, and it's not unspiritual, and it's not unscriptural to ask why. Gideon was a good man. The angel of the Lord said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's immediate response was this, if the Lord be with us, why are all these problems? And I feel that there's many a child of God today, and they cannot see the pathway clear, and they cannot see clearly the will of God for them. And they're just wondering what. God says, I will cover the sun with the cloud. My brother or sister, whatever your circumstances are today, they could be so radically changed tomorrow. I often say that it only takes a phone call or a knock at the door, and some Christians and Christian homes are changed for the rest of their lives. But could we appreciate today, thinking with our brother David of the sovereignty of God, not only in his warnings but in his ways, that God allows these things to pass. I will cover the sun with a cloud. But then we read that lovely statement in Genesis 9. When God said to Noah, I do set my bow in the cloud. Now you never see a rainbow when it's a cloudless sky. The sun's shining. No rainbow. One of the loveliest rainbows I ever saw was when the sky was at its very blackest. And the darker the cloud, the clearer and brighter the rainbow shines. There are many precious and unconditional promises throughout the Holy Scriptures, but they're not all unconditional. Do you remember what God said through his prophet Isaiah? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And there are lessons that we learn when we are passing through the water that we could never learn in any other situation. One day the Lord Jesus made this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. What a precious statement and promise is that from the Saviour. I am the resurrection and the life. But when did he say it? Did he say it as he stood by the seaside with his beloved disciples around him, or sitting on the mountain slopes as he spoke and revealed himself to them? The day he said, I am the resurrection and the life, was when a woman stood before him whose brother had just died. And these circumstances made that promise so very precious to her. We often think of the 23rd Psalm. And the psalmist says this, yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My brethren and sisters, and we speak from a measure of experience, there are things that we can learn about our God and about the Lord Jesus Christ that we can only learn in and from the circumstances of life. As far as I know, there is only once in the New Testament that God is described as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And it's not in Ephesians 1, where all that multitude of spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ are given and revealed to us. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because the apostle's going on to say this, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? Because Paul had learned, as we must learn, that if we're going to learn about him as the Father of mercy, it will be in similar such circumstances like these. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that there are two reasons why God asks us to pass through these circumstances. I believe the first reason is that we might learn something about him from the circumstances and in the circumstances that we could learn nowhere else. He is the Father of mercy. He is the God of all comfort. But then he says something else. The second reason why we pass through these circumstances, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any tribulation. I spoke to a dear brother this afternoon. I've never seen him for over 12 years. And he told me that between the last time I saw him and today speaking to him, he has buried two wives. And I had to confess before her, my dear brother, I don't know how you feel. Because I've never been in that circumstance. But what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians is this, God asks you to pass through circumstances because someday someone will cross your path in the circumstance in which you once were, and you'll be the person who'll be able to give them the benefit and blessing of the experience through which you pass. I think we would all agree that Joseph is one of the loveliest characters in the Old Testament, if not in our Bible. And from the first day we are introduced to him, standing with that lovely coat of colour, until the last day, as he's embalmed and placed in that coffin in Egypt, it's evident he was a man who knew much of the presence of God in his life. But there's only one chapter tells me that the Lord was with him. And not once in that chapter, but four times we read, the Lord was with him. It was not that day when he stood before his brethren with that lovely coat. Nor was it that day when he stood next to Pharaoh on Egypt's throne. It was as he lay despised and rejected in the dungeon four times over. The Lord was with him. Now we cannot conclude from that. It was his only experience of God. But what we can conclude is this. If ever he knew the presence of God, it was an evening. These young men that David referred to, very evidently young men who had the conscious presence of God with them. But I tell you this, if there was ever a moment when they were conscious of that presence, it was that day they stood in the furnace of the king. The man said, I see not three but four, and the fourth like unto the Son of God. My brethren and my sister, young and old, God sometimes covers the sun with a cloud. It may be the side of a man's hand. It may be the heaven black with clouds. But the God who causes the cloud to cover the sun is the same God that places his bow in the cloud. And I trust, because if you're like me, you've failed in the past, I trust in the experiences of life, we might be exercised, conscious that this is the pathway of God for us, that we'll ask the question why, and we'll learn something about Him that we could not learn in any other circumstances. But I'm lifting a phrase now from David's last words, recorded in 2 Samuel 23. And this is what he said. A morning without clouds. One of these days, every trial will be past. Every sorrow gone from our experience forever. No more partings to be known among us. Into a sphere and realm where these things are gone forever. Before I came, I was speaking to a sister, and she was crying because of circumstances in her life. She said to me, it'll be grand when there's no more tears. And I said to her, do you know what that means? She said, well, I don't know all it means. I said, well, maybe you, like myself, have taken a child on your knee that maybe fell and was crying. And you take the child on your knee and you give it a cuddle and you wipe away the tears. But you do that in the consciousness that more tears will follow. But one of these days, God will not only remove the tears, everything that causes those tears will be gone. No more separation. No more sinning. No more weakness. No more failure. A morning without clouds. It may be today. I don't know. It may not. It may be today. Our sky is cloudless. It may not be that tomorrow. I close by reading the words of William Blaine in one of his lovely poems. And this is what he said. The heart that feels no sorrow can feel no holy joy. I would not have the gladness here that never knows alloy. For if life's seas were waveless, and mine a cloudless sky, I ne'er would hear those words of cheer. Be not afraid. One day, no more clouds. But until then, it may be the cloud like a man's hand. It may be the heaven black with clouds. May God help us to appreciate. I will cover the sun with a cloud. But in the experience, may we hear his voice. I set my goal.
Only he always runs to sides with God, to him no chance is lost. God dwelleth sweetest to him when it triumphs at his cost. We'll stand to sing the last verse number 6.